Welcome to the This Week in Rays Baseball podcast. Here's your host, Neil Solons.
And welcome to our podcast on this Monday, November 23rd. Hope you're enjoying your preparation for Thanksgiving. Some of you are already off, and gives you some free time to listen to us on our podcast today. Dave Wills is going to step on by in a little bit, and we'll talk about what the Rays have done so far. But this past week, the Rays had to make their roster moves. And we're joined now by the Vice President of Baseball Operations, Chaim Bloom. Chaim, I would hope that with this being Thanksgiving week, that you get, I don't know if you would call it the calm before the storm after everything that went on last week.
It's definitely going to be a little slower than last week just because of everything that the reserve list deadline brings on November 20th every year. And with Thanksgiving coming, I think people will be a little more relaxed, but the action never really stops.
Let's walk through that whole process. Give people an idea. How challenging is it? And is it more challenging because part of it is you're looking at your 2012 college kids, your 11 international and free agent signs, and 11 high school kids in international signs. And because of that, look, you had a lot more draft picks that year. So there's a lot more to consider.
We did. This was something that has been on our radar for a while. And knowing that what is usually a week of tough decisions was going to be extra difficult because of how many players we had come out of that draft. And that proved to be the case. It's a tough week, and we have to make some difficult decisions. At the same time, you're excited to add some big pieces of our future to the roster.
We'll touch on the big pieces that you're adding. Who is the hardest to lose among the group? What was the toughest decision of the guys you decided, okay, we're going to move forward with or without?
Well, I think from an emotional and a personal perspective, designating Brandon Gomes, was difficult. He's been an absolute bulldog here, just a great guy in the clubhouse and been a big part of our club for a number of years. So from a personal perspective, that was a difficult decision to make.
And how about the catching side? Because I think most fans look at Aaron Sebia versus Rivera. You know, Aaron Sebia had a great last month. He neither obviously had the kind of season overall that they were hoping for.
For sure. And that was also a very difficult decision. And when we made the decision to designate JP, I think it obviously, given the September that he had and the spark he added to our lineup in September, that was tough. For us, a lot of it came down to trying to look at the bigger picture and the larger body of work and then trying to anticipate what these guys can do going forward, both offensively and defensively.
And part of it also is that Kurt Casale is not a bad defense catcher, but he's certainly a guy who maybe you expect more from offensively, and Rivera complements that with defense. Is that fair to say?
Certainly. It's early in the offseason to know exactly how things are going to look going into next year, but obviously we value both offense and defense, and we try to weight them appropriately and just try to forecast to the best of our ability what to expect of each of our guys on those fronts.
Let's look at some of the guys you added. Four of them, before we get to Chase Whitley, who was added separately, are pitchers. Blake Snell is obviously the closest to being major league ready. How close as a group are these guys to be helping you beyond Blake in terms of the pitchers?
We think some are closer than others, but they shouldn't be too far off. I mean, you had in Faria and Guerrero, you had two guys reach double A and perform at that level. Marquez had a very successful season in the Florida State League. So while I wouldn't expect these pitchers to make an impact early in the coming season, it's not out of the question that they could make an impact late. And certainly we like what they can do down the road.
Taylor Motter is the only position player who you added from within the system. Was that a tough choice at all? I know he played some shortstop in the Dominican. Did that help his cause? What were the things you looked at in adding Taylor, who had a great year in Durham?
Yeah, Taylor really earned that spot. And as you know, we value versatility. And between the versatility and the energy with which he plays the game, he's got a great arm. He's just a useful weapon in a number of different ways. So it made sense for us to add him and have him as an option going into 2016.
Probably the most interesting choice, which, you know, you guys do things that are somewhat unpredictable at times, was the addition of Chase Whitley. He's coming off Tommy John surgery with the Yankees. Why add him, and how difficult is it now how you have to keep him on the roster from now through the offseason?
Yeah, roster space, as we know, is often at a premium at this time of year. And with the Yankees deciding that it was difficult to carry Whitley through the offseason, that gave us an opportunity to add someone who we think is a good major league starter. Obviously, we're going to have to wait a little while for that payoff. We don't expect to see him fully recovered until late 2016. So this is really a move for down the road. But we like Whitley and saw this as an opportunity to add some rotation depth for the future.
And you can put him on the 60-day DL when spring training opens. So while it may not allow you to have as much flexibility as you want now, it can pay off down the road in terms of bringing non-roster guys in who can help you, let's say, in a more near term.
That's correct. And it will add some difficulty to some of the roster decisions we might have to make during the rest of the offseason. But if we can get through to spring training, at that point we'll be able to free up our roster a little bit.
You know, you guys certainly over the last year and change since Matt took over have not been afraid to be aggressive on the market. The deal already for Brad Miller, Danny Farquhar, Logan Morrison has brought some interesting additions to 2016. What are the areas where, if an ideal world, you'd like to improve? You know, Jerry DePoto said, hey, we want speed and defense and athleticism, and he did that to some extent. What would the Rays be happy with adding and improving between now and March?
Well, I think one of our major offseason priorities was something we got in front of a little bit with the deal with Seattle, which was looking forward. We thought our lineup was more right-handed than we would like it to be, and the trade and adding Miller and Morrison to our lineup certainly helps balance that out a little bit. I think, for the rest of the offseason, we're always going to be looking to add young talent to the organization, and that's always going to be a priority for us to have young players, ideally athletic, versatile players, but really talented players is the number one thing that we're looking at with respect to those guys, and have guys who we think can be part of a core here going forward for many years.
Hopefully the Thanksgiving Day meal is quiet and the phones are quiet. You get some time with the family and then get back at it as you get ready for the winter meetings. Chaim, thanks for a few minutes.
Appreciate it, Neil. Thank you.
That's the Rays Vice President of Baseball Operations, Chaim Bloom, joining us on our podcast. Now we chat with a good friend of ours who I hope is busy getting ready for Thanksgiving. Dave Wills now with us. Dave, what are things like right now in the Wills household?
Well, Thanksgiving is kind of in between right now for us because we are in the process of a renovation of our kitchen, and it started out with just new appliances and a new countertop, and now it went from there to a new everything. So we just got the cabinets put in, but we're a couple of weeks away or maybe about 10 days away from getting the countertops put in. So, it's kind of a kitchen under construction, so we'll still make do and still have some turkey and the fixings and all that other stuff. And hopefully have it done by the next holiday that comes rolling around a little bit later on in December.
Well, the honey-do list got pretty big pretty quick then in the Wills household.
Well, it's the honey pay list. I did some things, some destruction and some buying, but I'm handy to a certain extent, but not to the point where I can put up new cabinets or anything like that. So it was the reach into the pocket honey list right there, and that's what I did. And hopefully she'll be happy with it when it's all done.
I hope so, too. I will tell you that I'm not handy either, so I'd probably be on the same list that you're working on right now.
I've got a tool belt, but I haven't had to pull it out lately.
Speaking of tools, the Rays have had to kind of figure out what they're doing with their tool list, and they made the 40-man roster moves. And we talked earlier in the podcast with Chaim Bloom. What was your take on all of the change? I don't know that – I mean, the Aaron Sebia Rivera move to me was probably the toughest choice, but I can't say I'm shocked based on the way the organization values defense.
No, I know that they really expected more out of Rene Rivera, really, and especially when it comes to, his offensive side of things. And I think what they probably felt and what I've been able to read and gather from some of the people we've talked with is that they kind of feel like Kurt Casale and J.P. Arencivia might be kind of one and the same. And so they wanted to have somebody who might be a little bit better, behind the plate, throwing the baseball, and maybe be able to shut down a running game later on in the game. And obviously, Rene can do that. Now, again, we're going to need a little more from Rene offensively if he is definitely a guy that's in our plans. But, there also might be some other guys out there. Who's to say that, again, JP isn't available when this is all said and done, too? So I can kind of see where they were going with it. We've had a chance to see JP play an extended period of time when he's with the Toronto Blue Jays, and he did exactly what he did with us in that short period of time. He had some flashes of brilliance, and then there were other times where, you saw why he has bounced around here a little bit the last few years.
And then another guy who, look, he's been with the organization a while, and it made sense why they made the move was Brandon Gomes, because Brandon's out of options. And as we know, the way the Rays used relievers, they really need some flexibility in terms of guys going up and down.
They do. And, you know, again, Brandon was a guy that has been with us, you know, since what, about 2011, and did a lot of nice things with us over these last 2 years. But, you know, the other thing you're going to have to start looking for, and I think we noticed that in the postseason, is it's really, really nice to have some power arms. It's really nice to get some big strikeouts, and, you know, it's not, you're not always going to be able to come into an inning with it, nothing on base and a clean. And so you're going to need to get some outs with swings and misses, and that's not really Brandon's forte. He's a guy that has to depend on getting outs via contact, and it's tough to prevent runs when you have to bring in a guy like Brandon with a man at second base and, you know, less than two outs. So, you know, again, Brandon was in the same kind of predicament last year. He still signed a deal with us coming into the season, and ultimately did give us some big outs. So, you know, I wish Brandon the best of luck, and who knows? I don't know if this will be the last we see of him in a Rays uniform. You never know. But Brandon's one of those guys that probably a lot of people counted him out when he was at Tulane and said, good player, but probably he'll never make it to the big leagues, and he did for a long time. And I'm never going to count Brandon Gomes out. He's a very good very good pitcher and a better person, and I wish him the best of luck, too.
So, well said, and I think we all feel the same, you know, having worked with Brandon for several seasons. You know, you take a look at where the Rays are right now, and one of the things that would appear to be a strength, you mentioned physical arms, is McGee, Colome, Boxberger at the back end. And then I also look at what has already happened, and look, the Red Sox gave up, at least on paper, what appeared to be a lot for a Craig Kimbrel. And I'm not putting McGee and Boxberger in the same category. However, it does increase the value of a reliever on the marketplace. So I wouldn't be shocked if the Rays at least are going to look at the possibility of moving one of those three.
It wouldn't surprise me. I mean, you know, again, it's when you start to have to pay $5 or $6 million for a reliever, it starts to get a little rich for our blood. There's no doubt about it. But, you know, I think that, you know, with the thought process that we have, or that we tried to employ at times last year, that, you know, we're counting on our bullpen to get a lot of outs. You know, I understand how we have to maneuver, and I understand how we have to work. But, boy, it would be nice to be able to hold on to all those guys and give us plenty of options, because I think, you know, think about it. Last year when we thought that having the depth that we had in the bullpen last year with McGee and Boxberger and Jessen at the time, and then we figured, all right, well, who's going to be our fourth guy? And we were kind of waiting for that. But, you know, we've always talked about it would be nice to have four or five tied or ahead guys to be able to win ball games. And now as we look at the way that maybe we want to play this, where if we get a lead after five or six, we want to go to the bullpen. Well, if we're going to get that done, we might need six or seven tied or ahead guys, because obviously, as we saw last year, you can burn out your bullpen, not necessarily by using him as much as we did, but maybe in the leverage situations that we do all the time. And I think that's one of the issues that we have to look at long and hard, is the fact that while Kevin, I think, did a masterful job of, again, maneuvering a bullpen that at times was a little shorthanded, especially with a starting staff that was at times a little shorthanded, and to get this team to 80 wins, if we want to get to where we're going, we're going to have to be as thick as we possibly can be, not only in the bullpen, but also in the starting rotation as well. And I know we've got some young guys, but they're going to be protecting those arms too. So I would really, really like to see both Boxberger and McGee, Colome, and as you said, then maybe see if any Romero can take the next step up, and a couple other guys. You know, I know you talked to him toward the end of the regular season. Johnny Venters, the kid from who did some great things with the Braves over the years. I mean, we know what he can bring to the table if he's 100% healthy. So there is some intrigue, but physicality in that bullpen is going to be a key, especially if we want to continue to use that bullpen the way we did last year and the way sometimes you have to, because we don't have an offense that's going to win too many games 11-4 or 9-3.
Yeah, and the, you know, the one thing I get, and I don't know about you, Dave, is the question, okay, where can the Rays upgrade the most here in the offseason? And, you know, I think the more athletic they become, to me, is what I would like to see them continue to add. Because I think if you look at what Kansas City did, you know, they didn't have that constant threat of the home run. They had the constant threat of them going first to third or doubling in the gap and getting a run that way. And I think at least, you know, when you don't have a large budget, that's probably your best way to be able to score. If you get a home run guy, great, but those are hard to come by.
Well, I think the other thing they did, yes, they did first and third, but they had the constant threat, it seemed to me, of putting the ball in play with authority. It wasn't little rollover ground balls or little pop-ups to the weak side that we saw maybe too many times with our guys. I think that that's something. I liked our aggressive nature that we had over the last, what, three months of the regular season, and I think that's a carryover. But what I also like, too, is you started talking about some of the athleticism. You know, we started seeing a little bit of that toward the end of the year as well when you saw what, you know, again, not only can Kevin Kiermaier bring to the table, but also Mikey Matuk came and Brandon Gomes did some of that stuff. I mean, Brandon Guyer did some of that stuff. So we had some first and third plays. We had hustle plays where guys scored from second on ground balls out to, say, short right center field. So, you know, the athleticism to me is a big key. I mean, we don't have the boppers to sit around and wait for the three-run home run. And you know, not too many teams with the budgets that we have can. So I would like to see other ways to score some runs. And I think we started seeing that a little bit at times toward the end of the year with some of the younger players that we brought in to provide some of that athleticism that this team has not had for the past couple of years.
And I was okay with him bringing in a Brad Miller for, you know, that reason, too. I mean, he is considered a guy with some high upside who's got some athleticism to him.
And I think he brings a little balance to our lineup as well. And, it's going to be tough to replace what Asdrubal did defensively. But, again, Tom Foley and company, and I think playing with a team that he understands where defense kind of falls into the equation will probably allow him to kind of get settled in. And hopefully that's the case, because I'm not going to lie to you, I was a little nervous about the fact that we might see Nick Franklin and or Tim Beckham over there on a daily basis. I'm not sure either one of those guys. Now, they may surprise me, but I wasn't sure either one of those guys was ready to do this yet on a full-time basis. So I thought that was a very, very nice move by Matt Silverman of the Baseball Operations Department to bring in Miller, a guy that we've seen firsthand, not all that much, obviously, because they play in the West. But we did see him a couple of years ago, almost single-handedly beat us, and he's done some nice things. And, again, you bring a guy like him, you know, I'm not going to compare him to him, but, you bring in a guy like him, a la Jason Bartlett a few years ago, that kind of came in and relaxed, was able to relax and didn't have to think about, I was a highly touted prospect, or they were expecting this much from me. So, you know, if he can do something similar to what Jason Bartlett did a few years ago, and just kind of come in, settle in at shortstop, and play up to his capabilities, he could have a nice year for us.
Certainly. And, you know, as we start to look forward, I mean, a lot of what goes on with the Rays certainly depends on what goes on around them in their division. I don't know about you. I thought that the Red Sox paid a lot for Craig Kimbrell, but I also don't like seeing him in the division. On the other side, if the Yankees want to trade Andrew Miller, and there's even been talk about that this offseason, I'm okay with it. I'm okay just seeing Dylan Betances in the Yankee bullpen.
Yeah, I'd be all right with that if they wanted to do that. There's no doubt about it. I mean, Craig Kimbrell, again, is a guy that is one of the elite closers in the game. And anytime you add something like that to the back of any bullpen, and it makes it better. I mean, then you start putting guys like, you know, Koji Uehara and Tozawa an inning closer to the middle part of the ballgame. We saw how important that is with a lot of teams. I mean, you start playing 5 and 6 inning games against teams now because the fact that their bullpens are so good, it's tough to score because they can match up, or you bring in an elite guy like Kimbrel, and it doesn't matter if you're lefty or righty, he's going to have a good chance of getting you out. Now, the other thing that I'm kind of, the caveat that I'm looking at, though, Neil, is the fact that this is a guy that really has kind of settled into the National League. Mm-hmm. And it's going to be a little bit of a different beast for him coming in and facing these American League lineups on a daily basis. So it'll be an adjustment period for him, too. I know he had a little bit of a struggle at the beginning of his time in San Diego and settled in toward the end of the year. But you know what? If you struggle at the beginning of the year in Boston, a lot of times it's hard to come back because that Boston faithful doesn't allow you to probably make as many mistakes early on as maybe that San Diego crowd did.
Yeah, maybe not on the pitching side, but I'm sure that Pablo Sandoval and Hanley Ramirez would certainly be able to give him some advice to that end. Call Crawford, too, of guys who have tried to make the changeover in Boston and not had it quite work out. You know, here we are nearing Thanksgiving. I would say just like the kitchen at your place, Rays roster is still under construction, a lot to be changed, and hopefully by the holidays we have a better picture.
I'm just hoping that by March 1st we have a better picture. I think, we know how we have to operate. And, I don't know if he wants to live up to the moniker of Trader Jack McKeon, but he has become Trader Matt, making as many moves as he has. And he stayed away from the verbiage that he had last year about tweaking the roster. So maybe he won't go quite as far. But I still think there's some deals out there to be had. And, when you think about everything that went through this team went through last year, Neil, I don't want to sit there and sound like my cheerleader for this ball club, but to go through everything that they did and to still finish with 80 wins was pretty impressive. And it's a testament not only to, again, the baseball operations department that put this team together, but I thought Kevin Cash did a marvelous job. And I think Kevin is going to be a year older and wiser when it comes to putting things together next year. I think he's going to, you know, settle right into spring training this coming year, as opposed to maybe it took him a little while last year. And the same thing with handling of the clubhouse. I think everything is now a little more settled than it was a year ago. So I can't put any kind of wins or loss total together yet, because I don't think, as you said, I don't think this team is done being constructed for the 2016 season. But there is a lot of intrigue. I'm you know, hopeful that you know, again, we can maintain some flexibility and some strength in the bullpen. I'm hoping that you know, Matt Moore can come back and give us something from the beginning of the season to the end of it. Same with Drew Smyly. Hoping that Chris Archer is a year better. Hoping that Jake Odorizzi takes that next step. Intrigued by some of the young pitchers like Blake Snell and you know, a few of the other guys, and maybe see them during the year. And then hopefully Alex Cobb can come back. And, you know, again, I know we always kind of preface this by saying you don't expect the best out of a guy in his first season back from Tommy John. But, you know, Alex is a different bird. He never got it done by power. He got it done by, you know, some guile and this and that. So I'm not sure Tommy John surgery would affect him as much if he can get his feel for everything right away. So there's a lot of intrigue. And then offensively, that's always the big question mark. You know, are we going to have enough offense? You know, Desmond's an interesting bird. If he's going to be able to come back healthy, you know, will Kevin Kiermaier take another step? What's Evan going to be able to do for us? Are we going to move James Loney? All that stuff. So there's a lot of intrigue. Steven Souza Jr. is a guy that I'll be really keeping a close eye on during spring training as well. So there's still a lot of work to be done. I don't think Matt and company have added all the ingredients for this 2016 season, but I'm definitely starting to get excited for our potential, that's for sure.
Same here. A lot to give thanks for, especially, you know, when you consider the context of everything that went on last year. And hopefully come March, we'll be talking about some really good things about the way the roster has been constructed. Dave, enjoy your Thanksgiving.
Sam, hopefully you and you, your family, and same to everybody else out there as well.
Sounds good. Thanks for being on.
Neil, anytime. Talk to you soon.
That's the incomparable Dave Wills. We certainly appreciate him joining us. Also, Vice President of Baseball Operations, Chaim Bloom. Have a wonderful Thanksgiving. We'll talk to you soon.